Yeah, it definitely destigmatized, I think, a lot too, where families who home educated were more apt to, first of all, make memes. The Great Meme War showed us that, you know, I'm the homeschool parent, you know, you were afraid of, and mm-hmm. also, you know, the whole socialization thing is like, well, look what you guys did for the past 3 years. My kids aren't as messed up as, you know, what you think they are. The public school failed in homeschooling. And you know, you can take their word for it that it was because they were thrust into the position. They had no way of doing this except for that's what the unions push for as well. And then also, you know, it drove people to say, oh, what are those schools doing? Is sitting somebody down in front of 6 hours, but my neighbor, their kids are playing outside after three, and they know just as much as my kids do, if not more. And they're spending, you know, an hour, 2 hours, depending on your age of homeschooling day. And I think this is a further down the road one, but that's one of the misconceptions about homeschooling or something like that. You don't always have to be traveling to be a good homeschooler. Right. You don't always have to fill up your time. And once you're done, think about what it takes to teach 30 kids of different ones. And let's put the best intentions in that teacher. They want to teach all of them, and let's put good intentions on the students. That's 30 people with questions of doing it again, and you're filling up essentially a full-time job of 40 hours that you have to do. When you're a parent, you're always going to be a parent. You might not always like your kids, but they're always stuck in the same house as you, unfortunately. And you can take a shower and come back to them, and you're done educating them after 2 hours because you've hit everything for the day, and they're not at a loss. So I think that's one of the things where people kind of get that misconstrued of homeschooling has to look like public education because, and this coming from me too, is that's all I knew. I mean, I went to Catholic private school, but Catholic private school and public education, other than quality, is still the same. Fill up your hours, do it. And now it's like, oh, my kids are done in two. I feel like I should be doing more. That's not true. So even if you wanted to send them to two parents in the household have to work, totally understand that. Babysitter, daycare for 8 hours, come home for the 2 hours that you are doing from time to come home to working, depending on age, there's your homeschool time. And it doesn't have to be another 8 hours. It's not another job that you have to do. And so the nervousness of that, and saying, why can my neighbor do what the teacher does better in 2 hours than it takes 8 hours? So,
well, and one-on-one would be one of the major
absolutely
differences.
Yeah.
Is, The teacher, almost by definition, is going to have to teach the same material in more different ways because of the different kinds of learners, which is not, by the way, the traditional learning styles that you heard. That's not well substantiated in research, but
in general, yeah,
analogous to that. Okay, like
right.
Different ways of presenting material are going to be necessary because some kids will just get it one way and some kids will get it another way. The more kids you have in the class, the more of those you're going to have to do to make sure that everyone's following along. Not to mention that if someone is struggling after all those ways are presented, then you need to slow down and make and help that one student get it and all that. So the one-on-one attention, definitely, especially reading in the early grades, and things go so much faster the more one-on-one attention. And by the way, one of the most overwhelming differences is science of reading researchers have actually almost forgotten the importance of this because it's so assumed in that field now that sometimes they'll forget that regular people don't know this that having knowledge about the thing you're reading is going to improve your reading and your ability to learn to read mm-hmm. so much better than, so before we hit record, we were talking about how kids in the early grades are just sponges of facts and information and memorization. And so that's why you hit them with catechism when they're young. While their mind is just poised for memorization, you do a lot of memorization. Most of my scripture memorization was done between the ages of 6 and 12, right? It's like most of the verses I remember today, I still remember in King James Version because that's how I memorize them. Yeah. Between the ages of 6 and 12. And I've done scripture memorization since, but a lot less. Like, still very tinged.
Learning a second language is done better at a younger age.
Yeah.
Second generation immigrant families know this perfectly. They're the translators for their parents or their grandparents, because they had to pick up English sooner, and they also learned their first language.
Right. And so, to have kids be able to, read about things that they already know things about. So they have a knowledge base to understand some of the new information that they're taking in to help to aid with comprehension, and things that they actually care about. Right. I just this week, it occurred to me that, my kid cheats a lot on phonics, right? Cause she looks, you know, she looks at the pictures and she'll just guess words. And she won't actually look. And I realized she is also extremely interested in Pokemon. And yes, there are some hints by looking at the Pokemon. although she got Golduck and Psyduck right, which are backwards of what the visual hints would be. So that tells me that she wasn't cheating quite so much. And so I just realized this week that, okay, if we go through and we read Pokemon manuals, that this is something she's super interested in, where she can't cheat on the phonics, or she can't cheat much on the phonics. Mm-hmm. Some of them she knows the names of, so whatever. And those don't count. But there are a bunch of them that she doesn't know, and so she has to actually try to read. And you have to do it. You have to do it by phonics because they aren't real words, right?
Right. Yeah.
You're not going to have memorized these words. And so, that's a combination of like a challenge that we were running into with her reading, which was that she's just guessing too much and not trying to sound things out. And fitting to her interest, because she's very interested in Pokemon. And so that's the sort of thing that in one-on-one is so much easier, which is why, by the way, even at the public school, they should be breaking down into groups and doing a lot of one-on-one reading with the teacher and helpers and whatever anyway, because in the very early grades, you need that one-on-one attention to learn reading. But that's, for home education, that's all it is. So it can be so much faster, so much more efficient, so much more effective.
Yeah. And when you fail, there's the ability to take a step back and reset. So like when we were doing sight words, sight words, you just need to look at it and know it so that it helps you, because these are the most commonly used words. Well, we found out that our very good memorizer was memorizing positions in the on the app that we were using. And so we decided, okay, we need to use flashcards and break them up and be able to rearrange them so that she wasn't, but there was like a 6 month period that we had wasted because we found out that our 3-year-old, 4-year-old was memorizing the words in their place. And that's why she was struggling in the areas where she was. And so we said, all right, let's start back over. And she was able to catch back up, not in 6 more months, but in 2 months, because we had already laid foundations of recognizing sight words and stuff like that. And then she had gotten older and realizing, oh, my system doesn't work that way. So I'll kick against the goad until there's no goad to kick, and then learn it the way that you're supposed to.